Hello and welcome to the Nebraska Prep Zone Report, a podcast from the World Herald. I'm your host, Jake Anderson. Joining me as always is Mike Sauter. We are sponsored today by MD West One, Nebraska's most advanced sports medicine, orthopedics, neurosurgery, and spine care, covering greater Omaha for over 70 years, mdwestone.com. Mike, it's semifinal week.
Yeah, playoff football is here. Two obviously pretty big games in one location at Buell on Friday night. First up is, Omaha West Side and Millard South. It's a rematch of the first time they play of a couple weeks ago.
Week nine.
Oh, was it week nine?
Yep.
Jeez. Feels like longer than that. But that one, and then the highly anticipated one that everyone kind of thinks is the de facto state championship. I kind of beg to differ on that, but is Bellevue West, Millard West at 8 o'clock at Buell. So should be a kind of interesting environment. I don't think this has ever happened before where two semifinals in the same place. So kind of fun. And then, Omaha is kind of the epicenter this week. So Class B is Scutt and Roncalli both hosting their semifinal games too.
Well, I like that little teaser preview. We'll get right into it with Class A, because since he's excited and raring to go. The first game I want to talk about in Class A is the late game.
Mm-hmm.
Millard West and Bellevue West. And as you said, it's the one that everyone's been looking forward to. Mm-hmm. Everyone, as soon as they saw the bracket come out, how is Millard West number one? How is Bellevue West number four? These teams should be facing off in Lincoln.
Yeah. I mean, you still got to win the games, right? So it doesn't really matter. You still have to beat pretty much everyone that is in front of you or whatever. And if these are the two best teams, if everyone feels that way, then you still got to play each other eventually. Right. And
it's
win.
Not on the big stage as everyone wants. But, hey, you have two really good teams on the other side of the bracket, Millard South and Omaha West Side.
Yeah.
That
very deserving and all of that. So, I mean, even if you look at it preseason-wise, three of the four teams were in the top four. Millard West was seven.
Yeah.
So they've technically, I guess you could say, overachieved, even though I kind of thought they were going to be pretty good the whole year, but even heading into it.
And, you could say that they're the one seed because they beat everyone in front of them, but also they played the harder schedule. And that's not a knock on any of these teams because they can't control their schedule. It's who's in their district.
Right. Well, they can request some stuff and all that, but it doesn't matter. I mean, at this point, this is who we're playing.
And credit to Millard West because they beat Millard South.
Right.
And arguably that game decided the one seed.
Right.
But let's get into it. Thunderbirds, Wildcats. The first storyline here to me is Jay Ducker record watch.
Yeah.
Last week, he tied Calvin Strong, former Omaha North running back, for career touchdowns, rushing and receiving.
Class A.
With 104 for the 11-man record.
Mm-hmm.
He trails former Elkhorn South, now Husker, Moses Bryant. He trails him by one. Moses Bryant finished with 105. When Moses played for Elkhorn South, they were Class B. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, they're Class A. Either way, that's the 11-man record. That's what Ducker is chasing. Based on last week, Ducker's going to break that by about the 5-minute mark in the first quarter.
That might be a little aggressive if he breaks it. He might tie it by then. For sure, he's going to get at least one touchdown.
Right.
There's probably no way he doesn't, just with the way that offense is and how they play. I mean, Millard West defense is pretty good, but Jay Ducker's pretty good. So I would say that's likely to be a record that is broken this week. I would be shocked if he doesn't get at least two touchdowns. Three, four, five, something like that. That would be a little aggressive for me to say, but I would say I would definitely put like the over-under at 1.5 or the total at 1.5. And I'd take the over on that one.
I would as well. What are we looking for from Millard West Side?
Yeah, everyone talks about Bellevue West and their athletes and their offense and, and let's just look at their offense. So Nate Lance coming in has done a very nice job, and that's a storyline too.
Mm-hmm.
So Glantz was at Millard West last year. kind of split time with Tristan Gomez at quarterback last year. And then midway kind of through the year, Millard West decided to go pretty much full time with Tristan Gomez. Glance transfers, finds a new home at Bellevue West, and has done a pretty dang decent job there at Millard at Bellevue West this year. So that's kind of something. If he doesn't press, you know, try and prove a point, something like that, I think he'll be fine, but that's just something to kind of watch. I think he'll kind of, he needs to just play within himself and the offense. Bellevue West, wide receivers wise, or just athlete skill positions, Division I, Division I, Division I, Division I, Division I. I mean, like, okay.
Yeah.
So you have Jay Ducker, which we talked about. He's going to Northern Illinois. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
Two, Xavier Betts going to Nebraska, who's a freak of an athlete. Stud. That's two. Three, Mike O'Reilly. He's just a sophomore. Wide receiver, slash tight end, kind of a displaced tight end. They use him in the slot there. So how many is that? Four. Three,
Keegan Johnson.
Keegan Johnson has Northern Illinois and South Dakota State offers, and he's a junior defensive back slash wide receiver. Plays a lot on both sides. So that's four.
Nate Sullivan.
Yes, five. Nate Sullivan, committed to South Dakota State, wide receiver. That's five Division I guys on offense. That's huge, right? I mean, you have all these athletes and talent you can get the ball to and whatever. Their line's still pretty good, too. Thomas Salt's a really nice prospect. He's a junior. I like him a lot. He's a guy that I think he, you know, has some college potential and everything like that. They also have a couple other guys. TJ Griffin making the move from to full-time offensive line to more full-time defensive line has been a big help for them defensively also. But Millard West has athletes too.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the matchup that I want to focus on or like, is you have Bellevue West has these athletes, Betts, you know, Johnson, Sullivan, Mike O'Reilly, Jay Ducker. Talked about them. Millard West has two of their own in Dallas Beanham, who's committed to South Dakota State as a corner, our defensive back. And Caden Otterman, who is a wide receiver, can play some DB too. He's committed to Harvard. So there's two FCS guys on the outside also. So there's a lot of skill, talent there. And that's something, you know, last week before Bellevue West played Burke, it's like, oh my gosh, look at all this talent on the field. Well, you know, Xavier Watts was the one that kind of bumped that for Omaha Burke. Well, there's actually real talent here. Tristan Gomez, quarterback, committed to Cal State Fullerton to play baseball. And he had a Division I offer from Idaho to play football and quarterback and chose the baseball route. There's some talent there. Baylor Brandon is a big, strong dude as a defensive lineman. He's walking on at Nebraska. He's really good, too. So there's enough there. Millard West is so sound and fundamentally sound, both defensively and offensively. It's just, can they stay on the field and keep that Bellevue West offense off the field? And also, can they slow Bellevue West down just a little bit? I mean, what I mean by that is, can you just stick to your veer or maybe run some of that option that they like to do with Gomez and get 3.5 yards a carry and be okay with it and just stay the course, which I think they will. I think they will try to do that. Very much so, just stay the course while
staying out of the track meet.
Yeah. And try and answer, you know, a quick score or something like that real fast. No, just kind of just stay the course and keep the drum beating down the field. One thing that impressed me a ton with Bellevue West was, speaking of offense, was keeping that beat drumming down the field. Last week, Jay Ducker had, in the week before, I mean, the opening drive is almost like it's scripted.
Yeah.
It's just long drives. Jay gashes you for 10, 5, 2. There's 10 more. I mean, they just kind of methodically went down the field. They're very capable of doing that. People think with Bellevue West, it's just big, huge splash plays. Well, not really. It's a lot of Jay Ducker coming at you, some quick passing game things. Nate Glance can really run, use his legs too, and so can Gomez for Northwest.
Yeah, Bellevue West, they have that inside zone play. Ducker is so adept at finding that hole, knowing which lane to pick, where it's blocked, and just getting. But to me, the matchup here, and we talked about it last week, the underrated Bellevue West defense, to me, it's Millard West offense against Bellevue West defense. Not only can Millard West offense find success moving the ball, but on the other hand, can Bellevue West slow them down and get them off the field so that it's not 8-minute Millard West drive back to Bellevue West, oh, Millard West stopped them, and then you just wear them out. It's going to be a really interesting battle. It's the late game.
Some of the guys there, too, though, is, I mean, you know, Kier is a dude that's had a really good year, and he is totally off the radar guy for Bellevue West defense. His second leading tackler. Jack McDonald, I've mentioned that kid numerous times. He's had a fantastic year. He's a junior safety and leads Bellevue West in tackles. TJ Griffin, like I said. The one thing that we kind of talked about was you have the two defenses going at each other, and Bellevue West has given up, I think it's like 55 points total on the year versus 88 or something like that.
It was something crazy.
I'm looking it up real fast, but
yeah. Dirk Chatlin was covering the Burke Bellevue West game last week, and he had the stat in his column from the game that I think they've scored 480.
Bellevue West has scored, has given up 35 total points this year.
Yeah.
A lot of people point to their schedule, whatever. Okay, well, that 35 points, they still are, let's say the JV gets in the second half.
Yeah.
Or third quarter, or that's still a whole quarter you got to play against likely the other teams, varsity or JV too.
Yeah.
They've given up 35 points.
In 11 games.
Yeah, the whole year.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's dominating your opponent like they should, who's in front of them. On the other hand, Millard West has given up 88. That's still pretty dang good, too.
Yeah.
So, I could see a close game here. I really could. And specifically, both defenses probably showing up. Yeah. We'll see.
Something though. 28-24.
I'm not gonna go there. I'm not gonna go there. I just one of these days
I'm gonna get you to make.
Yeah,
a pick.
I don't feel that it does anybody any good to make a prediction on a game. I just don't. Specifically a high school game, I feel like it doesn't do anyone any favors. In particular, the person giving the prediction, it doesn't help. I'd rather talk about the game and kind of nuts and bolts.
Yeah. Well, I think we spent plenty of time on that Millard West, Bellevue West game, and it's definitely deserving of it.
That's the one everyone wants to talk about.
The other Class A matchup, Omaha West Side, Millard South, as we alluded to. The Patriots won in Week 9, 41-26. It's a quick turnaround for a rematch. Millard South came out and kind of did what they wanted to on the ground, but I think we both have the sense that this one might be a little bit different.
Yeah, absolutely. I think... I was there for it. That was a Thursday night game. It felt like Westside kind of came out real flat and just got behind late or pretty early. Sorry, not late.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaiah Harris had a career night, 300 whatever yards rushing. Can he do that again? He's very capable, yeah, but the odds are not good, right?
Right.
Of that happening. The one thing with Millard South, and it doesn't happen very often, I have to look. The last time there was 2,000-yard rushers on a team, because Millard South's T.J. Urban's at 995 or something right now, and Isaiah Harris is clearly at 1,000. That's pretty impressive, right, when you look at it. So
pretty rare.
Harris is at 1,676. Pretty rare in this day and age even to have now, when everyone was running the option and stuff, I could see probably that happening.
Millard North probably had it happen. Probably had 4,000 yard rushes in one year.
One game. so, but that's a key there. One guy that Westside kind of is getting back, two guys that Westside's kind of getting back now that I think are huge is Cal Weideman is kind of back and healthy and playing really well now. this year, and he's that little possession kind of receiver, a really good outlet for Cole Payton to hit. And Raul Kalani is a name, linebacker, running back. He's getting some carries now. He was hurt with an ankle earlier in the year, and that kid provides a lot of toughness.
Yeah.
Especially in the running game and defensively. Probably won't play a lot, you know, defensively, but as far as a running back, he's kind of a change of pacey guy. Him and Bodie Harrell are two really good running backs that I like a lot for West Side. It's just Cole Payton can do it with his legs. He made a couple mistakes in that first matchup that I'm pretty sure he'd like to have back. But, you know, he's 6'2", 205, big, strong kid, ultimate leader. Two 2021 or junior quarterbacks in this game that a lot of people are looking a lot from. And TJ Urban's just really tough. I mean, the dude can take a hit, gets back up, keeps bouncing back. It's not getting the buzz as the second game as much, but I do feel like it's still going to be a pretty relatively close game, because I think Millard South knows that West Side, you know, they handled that game, and if they can do it again, then
impressive.
Great. Yeah, that's pretty phenomenal. The one thing about Cole Payton, he's West Side's leading rusher with 676 yards. And he's also their leading passer, obviously, with 1854. Yeah. So that's pretty good.
And that's one of the keys to the game to me. You alluded to he made a few mistakes in their week 9 matchup. If he can limit those, he has 9 interceptions this season.
Right.
A little high for the team that Westside likes to be, kind of a running, throw it when you have to. Mm. If he can limit those, I think we could have a inverse of
It definitely could happen, and
I think we're expecting two close Class A games,
right? And Kobe Brett's is another guy for West Side that's really good. Everyone, you know, talks about Avante Dickerson and all that, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. But Kobe Brett's had a big catch in that game too, kind of late, trying to let him come back and win, I think. But there, Chase Purchill for Millard South playing and kind of getting back. I mean, he's just playing a little bit of corner and some receiver. They were working him in, and last week played a lot more against Grand Island. He's such a good athlete, can do a lot of different things for them. If they move him in the box, even, he's a tough kind of guy. It's just I think they want to be careful with that injury in that knee.
Yeah.
But there's good. Jake Gasway had a really big interception, and has played well, had a nice season for them. The line play is pretty good. Millard South, that's their strength, right? Obviously, they run the ball really well behind Herbolsheimer and Nikolaisen and Bo Wendt. Can Westside stop the running game? They didn't the first time. Can they do it this time is obviously going to be the key.
All right, we've got 6 other games to get to. Class B, Class C1, and C2. 6?
That's a lot. Okay.
And I don't want to shortchange those, but I don't think we're going to spend as much time on them as we did Class
A. We'll just run through
them.
Yeah.
But that's not us shortchanging them at all, because these are all really good matchups as well. Before we get to them, though, I want to take a minute and thank our sponsor again, MD West 1, MDWest1.com. They're Nebraska's most advanced sports medicine, orthopedics, neurosurgery, and spine care, covering greater Omaha for over 70 years. MD West 1. All right, Class B, again, two great matchups. Scotts Bluff versus Omaha Roncalli. Sebastian Harsh returned from injury last week. There was a little bit of it was in doubt if he was going to play. And it gives us a fantastic QB matchup now.
Yeah, and obviously the storyline here is, okay, well, Roncalli went out there last year, had the big lead. Jack Dotsler gets hurt, breaks his arm. And then, you know, then the floodgates open for Scotts Bluff, basically, and they come back and they win and win handily, and it's just kind of all that. That just shows you how much of a gamer Jack is. And even after the game, something really cool. So Scotts Bluff players went to the hospital to check on Jack after the game and kind of, you know, spent some time with him and stuff. That just shows you the respect that he has earned from his competition. But Harsh being back, I guess he's about 90% right now is what I've heard, so he's fully kind of healthy. It's just a matter of, can you slow down Roncalli's passing game?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Orr brothers, I guess, Shane and Jake, have had really, really nice seasons. Their Tynan Hugliso has had a really good year, too, for Roncalli. Jack just makes so many just plays with his legs and keeps plays alive. He's kind of like a Russell Wilson of Class B football. Just kind of out there, makes stuff happen. That
Jack Dotsler doing Jack Dotsler
things. Yeah, that's basically what it is. So, but, you know, Harsh, and Scottsbluff's line's really big, too. There's a nice matchup there. You have Austin Clarkson, who's Scottsbluff's probably best lineman. He's committed to Northwest Missouri State. And then you have Nolan Gorsica, who has had some recruiting attention and buzz there for Roncalli. I think those two are likely to match up against each other. That's a decent matchup. Clarkson's a senior. Gorsica's a junior. It should be good. It's going to be, you know, obviously really cold. It's on grass. Both teams are used to playing on grass.
Mm-hmm.
It's at Roncalli. Scottsbluff has to travel all the way. That's something like maybe we can talk about it later, but being the higher seed, hey, you're the number one seed, and you have to travel 7 hours, or I don't even care if it's an hour, to make it to the state championship game. Here's your reward.
Number one seed, yeah. Right? And
I'm just not a fan of that's your
reward for going undefeated.
I'm not a fan of that. That's just my thing. I think it should be like Class A made the change a couple years ago. I think everyone else should. But I get it. People need gate and all the fairness and everything. Right. But
speaking of Omaha Scut, higher seed, hosting Waverly. This is another rematch. An overtime game from week 7. The Skyhawks won 28-21. These teams have had some fantastic battles.
Yeah, including last year's semifinal at Waverly. So, and Scut kind of had to hang on. The last two times they played, it's been really close. And two fantastic quarterbacks with Tyson Gordon and Mason Neiman. This game's at Scut. I think, you know, be a little bit different sort of environment. Scut's, you know, plays on turf. They're used to that. And Waverly, you know, likes to maybe not cut the grass a little bit for a while when they play some teams. So
some gamesmanship.
Yeah,
no,
a little bit never. Maybe. So that's that's something, you know, that we'll obviously monitor and watch. But I don't know. For some reason, for me, Scut – until someone beats Scut, they're, you know,
which
they're,
could be
they're
sad,
always going to be the favorite.
Which until could be said about Scut in almost every sport.
Right. Nothing wrong with that.
No. All right. Give me 30 seconds. Yeah. What are we watching for in this one?
So, and Scut is just Mason Neiman and Tyson Gordon, who can outduel each other. And Tyson kind of got the better of him last time. I think that's going to be the Waverly running game versus the Scut running game. This game might, if it doesn't go to overtime, it might end up being, you know, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Be real quick.
Our two games in C1, Adams Central against Pierce.
Yeah.
And Wayne against Wahoo. Wayne against Wahoo, Warriors won 47-0 in week one.
Right.
How are you making up those 47 points if you're Wayne?
It's a good question. I mean, again, that was week one. That was a long time ago. Wayne is on a roll here, very much so on a roll. And 47 points is a lot, but I think they still might be able to make it a closer game. We'll see. You know, their win last week was pretty impressive. Blue Devils are the first time they've had a winning season or whatever in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely the Cinderella story of 11-man football as the season has progressed. I just don't know if 47 is a lot to make up.
Yeah. And then our other matchup, I don't want to gloss over that. Adams Central against Pierce. That's another
fantastic one. Great one. Two of the top three teams in the state all year long. Pierce's running game versus Adams Central's passing game. And Evan Johnson and Gabe Conant, their running back, both have had phenomenal years. Again, this is two of the better teams that everyone kind of pegged at the beginning of the year, and it's worked out that way. You know, everyone wants a Pierce Wahoo matchup, but it wouldn't surprise me if you know Adams Central kind of makes people rethink that one.
And that'd be a cool moment for Adams Central. Evan Johnson, their quarterback, is breaking a lot of Scott Frost records, playing in Memorial Stadium.
Yeah,
could be a cool moment if you like those storylines. C2. Man, we want to talk about how good the A matchups, the B matchups.
Yeah, C2's really good.
C2, these might be the matchups of the weekend. Yeah. Sutton against BRLD, Bancroft, Rosalie, Lions, Decatur. Correct. That's so fun to say. And St. Paul against Oakland Craig.
Yeah, Sutton getting the number one seed was kind of a little surprising maybe for some people. But this matchup's really – the cool thing about both these games is they're both played – they're played 7 miles apart. So BRLD and Oakland Craig hosting.
So fans can just hop back and forth.
You can. Start one in the first quarter, maybe leave mid-second quarter to go to the other one. You catch the third quarter, and then you decide where the fourth quarter you want to go.
So I know where you're going to be on Friday.
I will not be there. it's good. I mean, Will Gatzmeyer has had a really, really good year. And again, talk about record-breaking things. That's what he's done all season for BRLD. Jackson Johnson's a really good defensive lineman / tight end for them, too. St. Paul and Oakland Craig is good. Eli Larson is a name. Oakland Craig, I really like the people up there. They've done a fantastic job. They were super good to me when I went up there for the game of the week. Eli Larson is going to be tough to stop, but that defense, kind of led by Wyatt Segrin, is pretty salty at Oakland Craig. And last week they just dominated. So feel like that both those games are going to be real tight and real close. Mm-hmm. We'll see, who gets it done, and maybe. Maybe there's a rematch of BRLD Oakland Craig. Maybe they played a super close, way high scoring game. I think it was week 9. It was like in the 50s. So that'd be fun. But, St. Paul and Sutton are two teams that I don't think everyone knows a lot about. But I will tell you, Eli Larson for St. Paul is a stud.
Yeah. Well, we're set up to have, in those four classes, some fantastic state title games, regardless of who wins on Friday night. And also, I don't want to gloss over 8-man as well. Their games are tonight.
Right.
So we're
Tuesday.
Set up. Tuesday. Today. Mm-hmm. Today's Tuesday. We're recording, mm-hmm. previewing our semifinal games. 8-man coming tonight. We'll know those winners and then look ahead. Next week, we'll have your preview of all the state final games. Keep an eye on anyprepzone.com. I think we've got some fun stuff planned for Friday night. And follow Mike Sauter on Twitter. He'll have videos, post-game reaction, live updates. And we'll also have live updates on anyprepzone.com. Until next time, thanks for listening.